Peter Tilden. At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 begins right this moment. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. Of course, it'll be anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. We have so much to talk about. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. And you know what we should do right now, too? In addition to everything we're going to talk about, if you would like a shot at $500, in addition to everything else we give you, let's play the KBC $500 Lucky Number Hilo game. If you're the seventh caller right now on our new contest line, which happens to be 888-790-5222. That's 888-790-5222. And you guess the lucky number between 1 and 100, you win. So good luck. I'll take, hopefully, a winner in just a moment. We have the news quiz later on for Little Steven tickets and Kansas tickets. But right now, let's welcome Arnold Steinberg. He's not usually on Friday, but there's a reason he's on today. Political analyst, author of the forthcoming book, Whiplash, From JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey.
Another one bites the dust.
Good morning, Arnold. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just calling in to win the $500 news.
Well, you can't play. As you hear, Stevie is playing Another One Bites the Dust because Steve Bannon, which you correctly predicted, which I predicted on Monday. I think you were specific. You said not going to be here by, you predicted, I think, today.
At the end of this week, that's why I should win the news quiz.
All right, I'll give you tickets to Little Steven if you just want them, or I'll take you with. So, What do you think's happening? Bannon, I was going to start the show, by the way, with the knowledge that he was still there, okay? That, and it's funny, a Politico actually said reports of Stephen Bannon's death may be greatly exaggerated, and that this embrace of Confederate monuments is actually a wedge issue that could serve the president well.
Yeah, I think so much of that is wrong. I think it's not a wedge issue. I think, you know, to have a wedge issue work, people have to think it's not a wedge issue. And so when you get it associated in this sort of, you know, not merely politically incorrect way, but a way that's way off, it impeaches an issue that otherwise is viable. I mean, people ought to be against rewriting history, this kind of Orwellian thing of taking down statutes. It's what's been done under communism. It's what's been done under Nazism. But all of that is overshadowed by the inept way the president reacted to Charlottesville. And with respect to Bannon, I think you have a bunch of different things. First of all, the fact is that Steve Bannon should be given substantial credit for Trump's victory by Trump. But in Trump's style, he doesn't tend to share the credit. Bannon was absolutely key in the strategic decision to go after some of these states, notably Michigan, that were basically written off for Trump and that made the difference. Secondly, I think he's been pilloried unjustly as some sort of racist and anti-Semite. He's neither a racist nor an anti-Semite, but he is an economic nationalist, and that's been confused with a white nationalist, and that, you know, Bannon thinks that a lot of people, of middle class and particularly lower class workers, have been hurt by, you know, kind of globalism there. With respect to the new chief of staff is a military type who really believes the chain of command and kind of working as a team. And, you know, no one, when you ask these kind of people, you say, what's the number one quality you need as a Navy SEAL? They don't say brute strength. They don't say intelligence. They say team player. That's what this guy reflects. And then you have this kind of general anti-leaking situation. And a whole bunch of these people have been leakers against different factions there. And there's kind of a selective enforcement. I mean, if Jared Kushner leaks, he's going to be there anyway. So Steve Bannon is being indicted for the sins of himself and others. And then granting this interview this week, which was unlike...
Well, and he gave another. You know, he sent out... I was going to start the show. Arnold, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to start the show with the email that he sent to the Washington
still
Post.
Here, I haven't been fired.
No, I couldn't hear you. He sent an email to the Washington Post, which I was going to start with this morning. And the email to the Washington Post said... that the criticism this week in Democrats accusing the president of sympathizing with white supremacist groups will play to his political advantage. He said Trump has been labeled a racist before and was attacked almost constantly by Democrats during last year's presidential election. But while Democrats were attacking the president, Bannon called Trump was running on an economic message that ultimately proved more persuasive than any label his opponents could hang on him. His quote is, this past election, Democrats used every personal attack, including charges of racism against President Trump. He then won a landslide victory on a straightforward platform of economic nationalism. And yeah, well, as long as the Democrats fail to understand this, they will continue to lose. But leftist elites do not value history, so why would they learn from history?
Yeah, he did win a landslide victory. He only won the popular vote. That's not to delegitimize. Trump won. He is our president, and he won legally and properly, fair and square. It wasn't a landslide victory. There were several states that turned. I mean, Michigan, there was more votes for that liberal leftist candidate, far more votes than the margin of victory for Trump. That's not to take away from it. It was a terrific campaign, and Trump won, and he won fair and square. But the reality is that you probably, if you could somehow statistically analyze it and go back and do it, it's too late now, and interview people, you'd probably find Trump lost more votes than he gained by any sort of association with what anybody might view as white nationalists. It made him, I personally anecdotally talked to people who said, I'd like to vote for Trump. I can't Hillary Clinton, but this bothers me or that bothers me. So he would have done better, and he hasn't increased the base. I think that Bannon is almost a captive of his own ideology there, and you know, he hasn't expanded the base. When you have a base, you expand it. It was a narrow base, and in a normal presidency, you have that honeymoon.
All right, but let me ask you that, because and Dino will write this down. He loves when I say the new normal. The new normal is that if Trump maintains his base, he has enough leverage with the Republican Party.
No, that's not true, because, you know, the Republican senators and congressmen, you know, see him as a mixed blessing. They are very, very enthused about many of his policies, the Gorsuch appointment, other appointments in the federal judiciary, the appellate court, deregulation there. And, you know, this president has had some excellent policy victories. I mean, North Korea, for the time being, is not going to attack Guam. You had 15 nations in the United Nations unanimously, including Russia and China, go for essentially a boycott of North Korea. These are wonderful things that are overshadowed when the president errs on his policy pronouncements or gets off the reservation and off on message. There are a lot of subtleties here. You know, I've spoken to many, many conservatives. Remember that Steve Bannon is not a normal conservative. Conservatives traditionally are more oriented toward, a free trade and a kind of an ordered liberty and prudence and not this kind of rhetoric. But many of them said that Steve Bannon had a unique opportunity. He had tremendous influence at the outset of this administration, and there was a narrow window where he could have placed some policy conservatives in some positions. He only placed a few. Instead, he was kind of overwhelmed by his sort of ideology with Stephen Miller, you know, involved in this travel ban that had a lot of excellent points and was a legitimate exercise of presidential authority. But it was flawed. It was put together ineptly. It was rolled out too quickly. And he became infatuated with these kind of moving very, very quickly on these things instead of placing policy people, highly competent and effective, in positions that would affect the next year or two.
So, okay, cutting through, because what I'd like to take this to, talking to Arnold Steinberg, political analyst, how this affects everybody who's listening. I mean, that's really what this comes down to about health care. It comes down to redoing taxes, which have to be done. I mean, we have to look at our tax laws, and they become insane. So at this point, when you lose your chief strategist, the guy who's whispering in your ear policy, and I asked the author of the book, and it was very apparent that Trump was not happy about the book coming out and giving Bannon so much credit for helping Trump win the election. But when you have this guy, there's a vacuum in the White House. Does Trump now listen to other people for policy, or are these his policies? And B, does he wink, wink, nod, nod, still taking phone calls from Bannon and getting policy for Bannon and discussing how to move forward with Bannon, but he's just not in the White House officially?
I think the last question is the easiest to answer. If he's not getting phone calls, because what you have is an assertive chief of staff who does what other chiefs of staff do, which is it's not just visits, but phone calls are logged in. So, you know, if a Steve Bannon calls the president, or in this case, if the president calls a Steve Bannon, this chief of staff has a hold where he's overseeing everything, not because he's some sort of conspiracy-oriented guy who's trying to sort of assert his hegemony over the White House, but because he's trying to have a well-oiled machine where policy is simply not contradicted or vetoed by one person or one relative or one billionaire business crony who simply calls in when a policy is about to be announced or forces a radical change, which is bad for morale. So I think that part is easy. As far as the strategist part, I think we have to recognize that for whatever strong points this president has in terms of boldness and leadership and innovation and his giving voice to the disenfranchised, including many Hispanics and many African Americans who have felt the economic dire effects of globalism while not feeling its benefits, this is not a policy person.
Well, to prove not a policy person, remember.
It's not a policy person. So whether Steve Bannon is there or not is not going to affect policy.
So then who gets his ear? Because I look back and I realize in 2015, Trump endorsed Nikki Haley's decision to take the Confederate flag down from the State House after the shooting in Charleston. He said, I would take it down. I think they should put it in a museum, respect whatever it is you have to respect. Now he's saying the statue should stay up. And what's really interesting about that is 62% of Americans favor leaving Confederate statues standing as historical.
I mean, the polling is meaningless because these kind of poll numbers will change. It's not like somebody has a particular view that's pro-life or pro-choice, where it's a view sustained over time. These kind of polls are BS because people are going to change in response to the press. There is a real subtlety here, which is there are many people who might believe in the value of history and tradition and believe that there are wonderful people who are flawed and so forth, and that we shouldn't have an Orwellian rewrite, who might believe that a statue should go into a museum as opposed to being taken down or ripped off the way ISIS has gone into certain Middle Eastern nations and destroyed vestiges of history.
Okay, so let me ask you this with limited time. So we've got Bannon leaving. It's a big void for the president. And I'm seeing Heather Heyer's mom said she's not going to talk to the president because of his blaming both sides.
And Peter, if I were you, I would not accept the job as communications
director. yeah, the clock is ticking on that. Well, so the mom speaks against Trump. You got Senator Bob Corker, who's talking about Trump's competence now. You got James Murdoch, who's coming out, the CEO of Fox, saying that we really have to fight against any kind of people proposing ethnic cleansing and Nazis and anti-Semitism, said you. Matt Drudge is actually taken trolling Donald Trump. You got Mitt Romney really blasted Trump. You got Krautheimer. You got Gingrich. You got Peter King now says you should fire Bannon.
Some of those, look, Gingrich is much more important because he's close. Romney has not exactly been close to Trump.
So I guess my question, though, is how's this going to play out, Arnold? What's the next? We've had so many controversies that blow over. I've had so many people say this controversy is going to stick. This is the one. And I'm looking in. It hasn't moved the needle on the base one iota.
Yeah, no, I think the real profound risk is that the Republicans could lose the House and the Senate unless there's some sort of arresting of this trend, because I think what it is it's sort of like an allergy. You know, you might be mildly allergic to something. At some point, you reach your threshold, and then you have a heavy reaction. And so the cumulative effect of people being exhausted from all the drama and the tumult at some point can set in, and that's why it's very important for Gingrich and many of these people who would like to see the president succeed. They're sort of trying to be constructive, and even Corker in his own way, hoping to affect things. And they've got plenty of allies. Almost everybody in the White House, except the president, is allied with these critics.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see who has his ear. Who's the guy who's going to have his ear the most at this point? Who's going to replace the void from Bannon?
I think the guy who most has Trump's ear is Trump.
Okay, second down from that.
I think he reads, you know, when they say don't read your own clippings, I think he reads his own tweets.
Well, all right, so you don't think anybody's sliding in there to take over that position?
No, I think if McMaster if McMaster stays on the National Security Council as head, he's got the foreign policy monopoly there. And I think the current chief of staff may try to go back to a traditional White House plan. He may be talking to other chiefs of staff and go back to kind of a formal domestic advisory council where policy is filtered through there, all the advisors there, including the cabinet members there, and that's how domestic policy would be formulated.
And with about 30 seconds left to go, I asked the guy, the author of the book on Bannon and Trump and how they took the White House, if as rumored, Bannon would then attack Trump. He knows a lot, and he can actually hurt the president. He said, absolutely not. Bannon will go on and try and run his movement, be the head of this nationalist movement and affect it any way you can.
Yeah, I think he's going to follow the Corey Lewandowski mode, which is Lewandowski was fired, and he was on CNN, and then he was a lobbyist, and then he had his consulting organization, and now he's gone as being retained by a Trump advocacy organization. I think Bannon is well off. He's not super rich, but he, unlike Corey Lewandowski, he doesn't need to make a living, and he still has the backing of the Mercers, who are billionaires and very bright people who really helped Trump early on.
So he could still make a huge impact.
And he can go back to Breitbart, or he's such an original, really bright guy, he can come up with a new kind of network or podcast or whatever. So I wouldn't put the best. He's an original thinker, and he's a decent guy, contrary to all the attacks on him.
Arnold Steinberg, political analyst, author of the forthcoming book Whiplash, From JFK to Donald Trump, a political odyssey. You called it. You said Friday. I said by Monday. You win. I don't know what you win, but thanks for
I got to start betting money with you.
Thanks. That is not allowed. Arnold, thanks. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
And let's go do the high-low game right now. Let's go to, let's see here. It's time to play the 790 KBC 500. There you go. 500 lucky number high-low game. You know I shut down without the music. I need that music. Let's go to Stephanie from Fontana.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know the lucky number is between 1 and 100. For $500, what's your lucky number guess?
Peter, I'm going to say 92.
Say it again.
92.
You didn't win.
Oh.
The lucky number is actually higher, but we're going to send you a $40 gift card. Oh, you're very welcome. To Barney's Beanery, a legendary L.A. institution for over 97 years. Your next chance to guess the lucky number is between 105 and 125. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Stay on the line. Got lots more to discuss. The Steve Bannon thing, who's blasting the president, who did Julian Assange meet with? Kind of interesting. All of that and more with Peter Tilden at 10 continues here at Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden, 10 continues, and this is Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, a huge band. He's got like 16 people on stage. It's an orchestra, and they are great. You will have a blast at the Orpheum Theater, or you can go see Kansas at the Thousand Oaks Civic Auditorium. I got tickets for both of those when we do the news quiz. The big news was that Steve Bannon officially out at the White House, as I was asking Arnold how much impact he's had, a lot of impact on the president. If you read the book that we talked about yesterday about how they worked together to get to the White House, I mean, it was a pretty amazing feat. And the president must trust Bannon to a large extent. The word was that he didn't like the book, that it came out and gave Bannon too much credit for getting him to the White House. And then it was telling that Steve Bannon started giving interviews. He's pretty quiet during most of the presidency so far. Remember, he did one thing at an auditorium with Reince Priebus that was kind of embarrassing because you knew that they hated each other, but they were on the same stage and kind of putting up with each other. But that was about it. And then he did a couple of one interview, then a second interview, and third, and then a fourth this morning, which I started to read from when Arnold was on. And that was quite unusual there, and attacking the Democrats and saying, keep going for identity politics. You go for identity politics, we'll talk about everything else, and we will continue to win. So he apparently is out. But I did look at the polling, and the polling is really interesting. Oh, you know what? I'll do it. Let me take a break when we come back. The poll numbers, his overall disapproval rating and evangelical support for leaving Confederate statues standing, I think you'll find the numbers staggering, and you'll get why the president may be going down that route, although the pushback has also been staggering. So I'd like to hear your take on this. Is the media overblown this, or this pushback that continues to happen? I mean, you got Mitt Romney, you got Arnold Schwarzenegger, you got Senator Bob Corker, and more, all weighing in and saying what the president did was wrong in his comments. It's pretty fascinating to see that it didn't move the dial at all on the numbers in the polling. So 800-222-5222, Peter Tilden at 10 continues with you right after this.
K
KABC News, live and local at 10:30. I'm Jeff Whittle. President Donald Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, has been fired. It was reported about 45 minutes ago. CNN's Jim Acosta reports.
The White House has now issued a statement from Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It says White House Chief of Staff John Kelly and Steve Bannon have mutually agreed today would be Steve's last day. We are grateful for his service and wish him the best.
The New York Times' Maggie Haberman reports that Bannon submitted his resignation over a week ago. Spanish police say the terrorist who carried out two vehicle attacks yesterday, killing 13 people in Barcelona and a woman in Cambrai, were planning to wreak wider devastation, but their explosives detonated early. That blast, which took place in a home in the town of Alcanar on Wednesday night, apparently prompted the terrorist to use vehicles to run down pedestrians in both attacks. The driver of the van who killed 13 people, including an unnamed American in Barcelona, remains at large. But police shot and killed all five terrorists in the attack in Cambrai early this morning, Spanish time. That's the actual sound of the takedown. Those suicide terrorists were wearing fake suicide belts when they died. The L.A. City Council has set August 30th as the date it will vote on replacing Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day as an official Los Angeles holiday.
The motion was introduced by Councilman Mitch O'Farrell, a member of the Wyandotte Nation. O'Farrell says declaring Indigenous Peoples Day in Los Angeles will send a strong message to the rest of the nation that we are ready to embrace a future free from the stain of a psychologically harmful false mythology of our origins. Councilman Joe Buscaiano, who is an Italian-American, has called the proposal to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day troubling and divisive. I'm Rob Marinko, KABC News.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC Sports. Dodgers visit the Tigers this afternoon, open up a three-game weekend series in Detroit. Angels visit the Orioles also this afternoon to kick off a three-game set in Baltimore. Rancho Santa Margarita battles Walla Walla, Washington at 1 o'clock this afternoon at the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Quarterfinals taking place today at the U.S. Amateur Golf Championship at Riviera Country Club in the Palisades. Manhattan Beach Open Volleyball Tournament continues through the weekend in the South Bay, and that's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10. Next, KABC News Time is 10:33.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. And it's interesting. We got number one. Well, first of all, I heard in the news that we were celebrating Indigenous People Day, that they want to make it a holiday, as long as they don't, to celebrate Indigenous people, take away a lane. They had to take away a lane of Sepulveda or Cahuenga to celebrate Indigenous people. Hey, we're doing that by taking away a lane and doing a road diet. No. By the way, we're trying to figure out the math. How many Scaramucci's Steve Bannon actually had.
Scaramucci
had 11 days. I don't know the total Bannon number of days. Joe did the math. Producer Joe did the math. We got him at like 11.9. Scaramucci's, but he's out. And what's going to be interesting to see now, first of all, the Bannon claims that the parting of the ways was his idea, and he actually submitted a resignation August 7th, and that it would be announced the beginning of this week, but because of what happened in Virginia, it was moved back. They've been discussing it for a while. Now what's going to be interesting is to see how the media, conservative media, what they do with this, because remember, Bannon was against the globalists in this administration and, steering the right-wing website Breitbart.com, and he went after Jared Kushner. He went after the people that he needed to go after, had them go after those folks. Now you got, in the Trump administration, elevating the roles of Gary Cohen, his top economic policy advisor and a former official at Goldman Sachs, plus Dina Powell, who's a former Bush administration official, also worked on Wall Street. Cohen is a registered Democrat, and both he and Powell have been denounced by conservative media outlets as being on the other end of the spectrum when you talk about the populist message going. So it's going to be fascinating to see moving forward. And then you have Arnold Schwarzenegger. Boy, the number of people who came out and are piling on, and that's why I'm asking you where you think this is going to go, 800-222-5222, this statue wedge issue that by the way, is overshadowing the fact that there are NAFTA negotiations, that we've got North Korea going. The president has to give his generals some definitive info today on what are we doing in Afghanistan? Are we pulling out? Are we sending more troops in? I mean, these are big issues, and we're talking about statues and Confederacy, and these issues are the big issues of the day, and that's what everybody's weighing in on, Schwarzenegger.
They're not two sides to bigotry, and they're not two sides to hatred. And if you choose to march with a flag that symbolizes the slaughter of millions of people, they're not two sides to that. The only way to beat the loud and angry voices of hate is to meet them with louder and more reasonable voices. And that includes you, President Trump. In fact, as president of this great country, you have a moral responsibility.
So how long before you see the tweet from the president going, didn't your father register with the Nazi? Wasn't your father, as I recall? I mean, that's going to be coming. And then you got Bob Corker, Senator Corker, had this to say, and he's pretty venomous, but they hate each other. So I'm not surprised, but he came out and said this.
I do think there need to be some radical changes. The president has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability, nor some of the competence that he needs to demonstrate in order to be successful.
And I'll let that, it goes on and on and on. And then you had, aside from court, Mitt Romney really took him to task. I'll just read you a piece of what Mitt Romney said. Former Governor Mitt Romney slammed president for how he's handled Charlottesville and warned that there may be an unraveling of our national fabric if he doesn't apologize. It was a lengthy Facebook post, and I can read you a bit. He should address the American people, acknowledge he was wrong, apologize, state forcefully and unequivocally that racists are 100% to blame for the murder and violence in Charlottesville. And he said, testify that there is no conceivable comparison or moral equivalency between the Nazis, who brutally murdered millions of Jews, and who hundreds of thousands of Americans gave their lives to defeat, and the counter-protesters who were outraged to see fools parading the Nazi flag, Nazi armband, and Nazi salute. And that's just part of it. So it really, really takes him on. And again, this thing hasn't limped off. It has become a cause, and there will be nine more rallies are scheduled for Saturday. And look, as deplorable as they are, they're constitutionally free to say what they need to say. But they got to be handled correctly so that we don't have violence like we had at the other rallies. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a busy Saturday for police all over the country. Your comments, 800-222-5222. Lots of other topics to discuss, but this is the big one in light of the fact that Steve Bannon, who is the policy strategic advisor to the president, resigned, got fired, got pushed out. Is gone. Kaputsky, see you later. Done. 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Big day. Steve Bannon out. We're going to talk Powerball a little bit. It's top of the hour just because everybody's fantasizing about the fact. Well, I've had already at least 11 different people in the last 3 days give me some version of, well, you know, if I win, you're never seeing me again. And as soon as they tell me that, I go, well, I think to myself, well, if I win, there goes the money I was going to give you. We've got Kansas tickets, Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza coming up next hour with the news quiz. Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. You know him from The Sopranos and from the E Street Band, and he's going to be here at the Orpheum. What a great, great band that is. Let me see. Oh, very, very interesting. Another story that does not have to do with Bannon stepping down, but Representative Dana Rohrabacher met with the WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, in London to discuss, ostensibly, the site's involvement in the 2016 election. And according to Dana Rohrabacher, Assange has reaffirmed aggressively his denial that Russia was an actor in the election or had anything to do with the leaking of the DNC emails. And Assange was willing to offer proof, but not for free. He wants something in return. John Solomon spoke with Rohrabacher. He's a journalist for The Hill, and revealed what the deal may be, and this is apparently Rohrabacher wants to go directly to the president with this information. Assange would like WikiLeaks be part of the White House press corps. He wants a seat at the White House press corps in the room there. So that's a bit of the give and take. And Assange said that he may be open to a deal. The question is, because he's Julian Assange and because of the Chelsea Manning leaks and because of the DNC leaks, you think Congress is going to welcome him with open arms and go, oh, yeah, that is definitely going to happen. But it is pretty fascinating that that he wants Rohrabacher to be an emissary and go directly to Trump with whatever information he's got about Russia and whatever proof he's got, I guess, to say to the president, dude, I got your proof that Russia was not involved in this. However, there's another story that says Julian Assange reportedly gave lots of excuses for refusing to publish a huge trove of documents related to corruption within the Russian government. Now, the reason he said that and the reason some of the people at WikiLeaks are saying they turned that down is they couldn't verify the documents, or they may have already been published somewhere else, but that they don't reject submission due to country of origin. So that smells a little bit fishy there. The Justice Department, meanwhile, is when it comes to Assange, they're still deliberating what criminal charges they should charge against WikiLeaks for leaking top secret diplomatic cables and military documents. And the CIA, FBI, and NSA concluded in January that WikiLeaks had actively collaborated with Russia's principal international propaganda outlet, RT, with the release of the DNC emails. So you also had CIA Director Mike Pompeo call Assange a narcissist and a fraud and said WikiLeaks is a hostile intelligence actor. So this will be fascinating to see if Rohrabacher makes it to the president with the information and how the president then processes that information moving forward, that Russia was not involved. All right. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman at 10 continues right after this.